Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, brought to you each week by University Hospital, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. Now, you know, listeners, each week before I interview the guests you hear on the show, I spend some time preparing for them. I read whatever I can get my hands on. I access the internet for general information about their topic. I get a hold of bios, resumes, and so forth. Each one is interesting in its own way. But for this interview, brace yourself. If the interview we're about to have is half as interesting as the reading I did to prepare for it, you're in for a treat. So let me set the stage. The woman we're about to hear from has these keywords in her background, words that you hear quite often on HealthLink On Air, such as immunology, microbiology, DNA, malaria, research mice, tumor, or even virus. But here are the words you're not so used to hearing during this time on Sunday mornings: Kenya, Uganda, or Africa, armed robbery, Orange County, California, uprising, and global agenda. So now you know what I'm talking about. Have I whetted your curiosity? Let me introduce you to Dr. Rosemary Rochford, the chair of microbiology and immunology at SUNY Upstate. Good morning, Dr. Rochford.
Good morning.
What a fascinating life you lead. I'm excited to hear about it. After
Thanks.
Reading the notes for the interview you did with Denny Harrigan, who's part of our production team for HealthLink On Air, I came away believing you really live in two different worlds, don't you?
I do.
Absolutely. So let's talk about those two worlds and what ties them together. First, I want to make that Orange County, California reference. Is that where you're from originally?
Yep, I grew up in Anaheim, California, just down the street from Disneyland.
Aha, there you go. You're a good example of what we like to call the brain gain. Mm-hmm. You've come here from outside the area. We're really glad to have you here.
Actually, I like it here, believe it or not. Once you get over the fact that weather's not everything, that's what I tell myself.
There you go.
Okay.
And you've been here for a number of years.
Yes, actually, I really like it here.
That's great. Very good. Well, let's talk about your research, because that's based right here in Central New York at SUNY Upstate. Tell me about your work.
Well, what I study is a virus called Epstein-Barr virus. We also call it EBV.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a virus that infects everybody pretty much around the world. So everybody has this virus. You don't know it. Some people might know that they got infected when they got infectious mononucleosis. But for most people, it's just a quiet little virus in your blood that you'll never worry about.
And I've actually heard it tied to chronic fatigue syndrome as well, but there's some studies about that, right?
There is. However, actually, it turns out that the EBV might have just been a red flag and maybe not the true cause. We still don't know the answer to that yet.
And it's being studied. And I've also heard it in conjunction with herpes and hepatitis and some lymphomas.
Actually, most importantly, it's with cancers is where it's a really big issue. So it's a herpes virus family member.
Mm-hmm.
So like herpes that causes a cold sore is one of the viruses, or shingles,
mm-hmm.
chicken pox. But this is a different group, and it's, as it said, usually doesn't cause too much problems, but it will emerge as lymphomas, Burkitt's lymphoma, which is what I'm interested in studying, nasopharyngeal carcinoma, Hodgkin's disease, immunoblastic lymphomas, oral hairy leukoplakia, quite a number of different ones.
Wow. A lot of different things. That makes it huge that you're studying it. Now, you mentioned a few minutes ago some of your research. Dr. Jennifer Moffitt was here just a few weeks ago, and she talked about her SCID mice. And let's refresh our listeners' memories on what those are, because you also work with the SCID mice, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Okay, tell us about them.
SCID mice are mice that are called severe combined immunodeficiency. So these are mice that that don't have any functional immune system. So they actually have to be kept. Many listeners might remember the boy in the bubble who had a human with a SCID mutation. So
mm-hmm.
he was susceptible to a lot of different diseases. But what's unique about these is they can accept human tissue because they can't reject them. They have no immune system to reject the tissues we put in them. So in my case, what we study is we put human tumors into these mice so that they can grow in the mice, and we can understand different ways of treating the tumors.
And the reason you put them in the mice is because it's research you don't want to be doing on human beings. Am I understanding that
correctly?
Exactly.
Right. That's correct.
And so once the tumors are growing in these mice, one of the questions I asked Dr. Moffitt was, how do you look at them? And she said there's a machine you're using. Tell us about that machine.
This machine is a really cool machine. A scientist, one of the things that drives us into science is we love machines and toys and tools.
Okay.
So what it can do, if anybody's ever played with a flashlight and shined it on their finger, they can see the light shining through the finger.
Right.
Well, what this does is, and anybody's known what a firefly is, right? And you can see the light. Well, what people have done is taken the gene that makes that firefly glow, and we can put it, in my case, we put it inside the tumor cells. So now I have tumor cells that have the gene that makes the protein that glows. And then the tumor cells are growing inside this mouse, and then I add a substrate so that the firefly enzyme can turn it to light. Mm-hmm. And so when I add that substrate, the tumor cells now glow. And so it's pretty amazing, but you can't really see it. It's not bright enough for us to see. But we have this machine that's essentially a big black box with a very, very sensitive camera that can detect that light. And then it quantitates that light so we can actually measure the amount of light coming out of the tumor cells. And why that's important then is once we can measure that light, we can then see if we treat it with drugs, which is what we're doing, we're trying to come up with better chemotherapy, we can see how the tumor responds and measure that very, very well.
That is absolutely fascinating. So if I understand this correctly now, you have these mice and mm-hmm. they have the tumors growing inside of them.
Right.
You're looking at them without being invasive to the mouse at all.
Exactly.
Which means you can keep studying that same mouse.
Right. So it gives us a better readout on what's happening. So it gives us better data and we can follow the same mouse over time. So we have to use less mice. So it's part of the important thing is refining the number of animals that we use in these studies. So that's a very important aspect of this tool.
Absolutely. Then if I take it to the next step, if I understand it correctly, mm-hmm. what you're doing is studying these mice so that you can understand how these tumors then grow inside human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about that.
Well, what happens is that one of the processes you might have heard, tumors, they have a process called angiogenesis. That's a big word, right.
Yeah.
And so the tumor cells, like any cells, need to be fed with blood. The blood is what brings the food to it. So angiogenesis is the process of making blood vessels come into the tumor. Right?
Okay.
So what we're trying to do is, and you can't study this in cell culture because that would never happen. So you have to study it in the animal.
Mm-hmm.
And we're coming up with ways that we can block that process. So if the tumors aren't fed, then the tumors die. So we're trying to target that process called angiogenesis.
I see. All right. But you can target it in the mice.
Right. Exactly.
And then, of course, the hope would be the leap to human beings.
Absolutely.
Yep. Now, Burkitt's lymphoma, you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
and I know that ties into your experience in Africa. And I want
right.
to talk about your experience in Africa in just a minute. But talk to me about then how you make those relationships to these lymphomas.
Okay. So Burkitt's lymphoma is the most common childhood cancer in Equatorial Africa. And it's a very treatable cancer. But what I discovered when I went to Africa, and we'll talk about that later, but the children don't have enough supportive care to really treat the cancer well. So we can give them the chemotherapy, but as you can imagine, it's hard to get blood products. They don't have money for EPO or things like that. So I've been collaborating with an oncologist who's now at West Virginia University, and we were talking about what are the different ways we can come up with something that's less toxic to the child. So something that would, when you get chemotherapy, your bone marrow becomes suppressed and
sure.
also makes these children more susceptible to infectious disease, which is very rampant there.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're trying to do is it's called metronomic therapy, just like a metronome tick-tock.
Sure.
So traditional chemotherapy comes at a high dose, at very high levels, and then you let the person recover and you provide all the supportive care and then you come back and womp on them again and hopefully you get the tumor by doing that. But it requires a lot of extra things in addition to the chemo to keep the patient from suffering the effects of the chemotherapy. The metronomic, and what we're testing is the hypothesis that it's anti-angiogenic. So we give the same drugs, but we give them at lower doses multiple times. So just, again, like a metronome, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. And hopefully, and we've got some data in the mice to show that it's actually it works, is that the tumors also respond to that as well. But it doesn't, I have some amazing pictures in the mice of one that had the high-dose chemotherapy and one the metronomic therapy.
Do you? Well, we might try to make those available on our website,
our
HealthLink on Air website, because our listeners might be interested in seeing them. Well, tell me now, so you're going to study these children and you're
mm-hmm.
going to try to eradicate this cancer in these children. How does that expand to the bigger picture? We're talking about a global arena here.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine they're the only people in the world that have this type of lymphoma. There must be a bigger picture.
There is a bigger picture, and I always like to remind people when I say I study a child's cancer, childhood cancer in Africa, that this cancer was, I'm going to a meeting in Uganda to celebrate the 50th discovery of this cancer by Dennis Burkitt, but it was the first cancer actually shown to be treatable by chemotherapy alone.
Ah.
So it changed the paradigm. Dennis Burkitt was in Uganda and had no radiation machines to zap the tumor with, and so he said, well, what happens if I just give it the cytotoxic drugs? And it was very responsive to that. So it changes paradigms in how we think of developing things. And hopefully, my vision is that at some point in the future, and I'm just a small piece of that, we can come up with better chemotherapy that's not as toxic to any of the patients. But it's particularly problematic in children because they're so vulnerable to the chemotherapy and the effects of that.
And you're talking about the big picture of cancer, right?
Right.
You're not just talking about this one lymphoma.
As it turns out, cancer is probably kills more people worldwide a year than AIDS and malaria does.
Really?
Worldwide, if mm-hmm. you put it together, right?
And lymphoma is a part of, you're talking about a disorder that goes through the body because mm-hmm. of the circulation and so forth. So
right.
you're not talking, I know once in a while we hear some of the physicians we interview, they talk about tumor masses mm-hmm. versus blood, and you're talking
right.
about the blood kinds, right?
Well, actually, no, this is a, so lymphoma or leukemia, those all derive from the white blood cells. So in your blood, you have the red blood cells and the white blood cells. Mm-hmm. And then lymphoma usually is when it's a fairly solid mass, and leukemia is when it's moving through the blood, but they're both cancers of the white blood cell.
They are, okay. Mm. And so the studies you're doing now could relate to either one of them.
Absolutely.
Very good. You know what? I want to get to your Africa experience, uh-huh. but we're beginning to run out of time here. We're getting close to the news. Will you stay with us through
oh,
the
certainly.
Break? That'd be great. Listeners, we do need to take a break for the news, but we'll be back in just a few moments, so please stay with us. This is University Hospital's HealthLink on Air on 570 WSYR.